What French politics mean for Europe's debt crisis.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. France will try to borrow a lot more money today, but the low borrowing costs the country has seen ever since the European Central Bank pumped about $1 trillion in emergency loans into the system are no longer a sure thing. And as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London, France's future leadership is also uncertain.
The French government has seen its borrowing costs or bond yields go up in recent days. Investors are worrying about politics. There's the first round of the presidential election this Sunday, and the current Conservative president, Nicolas Sarkozy, has fallen way behind his socialist rival in the opinion polls, as broker Bill Blaine told the BBC.
The markets are beginning to get a little bit nervous about what a change in the French government is going to mean. I suspect that we are likely to see French government bond yields rise in the next couple of weeks.
He says investors fear that if the socialist candidate wins the election, France won't take the necessary steps to cut its budget deficit. And there's another worry. Germany has backed Sarkozy to win. If he doesn't, a big rift could open up in the heart of Europe. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A report out today from the Brookings Institution offers a theory on how to improve education for poor kids. Change zoning laws. For an explanation, here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer from our Wealth and Poverty Desk.
It's a busy morning at the Bruce Monroe Elementary School in Washington. Third grader Marcus King sits to one side of his classroom by himself. His mother, Teresa King, meets me there to talk about her dreams for Marcus, who has special needs. First off, a move to a better school district.
I would go. No questions. I would definitely go.
King moved to Washington less than a year ago from a Maryland suburb where Marcus's classes were small.
He needs that one-on-one, not just someone standing there saying, take out a piece of paper, write your name, because he doesn't understand that.
When King lost her job in Maryland, she and Marcus moved into public housing. In the city, it wasn't available in the suburbs. Jonathan Rothwell says that's no accident. He wrote the Brookings report on zoning.
In most metropolitan areas, it's impossible to build affordable housing in affluent neighborhoods because of zoning laws.
Those laws don't allow apartment buildings or townhouses. Rothwell says zoning laws should be changed to require construction of affordable housing so low-income students can go to the best schools. But urban policy consultant Wendell Cox says ultimately,
the way to improve educational performance is by fixing the schools.
In every neighborhood. Rothwell says that'll take years. It's more practical to change zoning laws to give kids like Marcus King a better education so they can scramble a little higher on the economic ladder. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in global trading this morning, up 0.4% right now in London. We got earnings from Yum Brands, which owns Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and KFC. It said profits were up 73% last quarter, in part because of strong sales of those new Doritos tacos at Taco Bell. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 82 points to close at 13,032.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Now, let's take a trip to the supermarket.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
Whole Foods, to be exact, on 3rd Street here in Los Angeles. The upscale, often expensive chain is about to make a big change. No, they're not lowering their prices. On Sunday, Earth Day, Whole Foods will stop selling wild seafood that's either overfished or caught in a harmful way, according to the ratings from the Blue Ocean Institute and the Monterey Bay Aquarium. On our trip to Whole Foods, we met up with David Ginsberg, an environmental biologist from the University of Southern California.
What's happened is that we've become too comfortable with what's out in the natural world. And while we want the health benefits of some food items, particularly fish, At the same time, we don't want to pay the real cost of those.
Yeah, well, I see that on the avoid list, you've got things like tilapia, which I see right there, fresh tilapia, mahi-mahi, salmon farmed, including Atlantic. These are a lot of things that people have all the time.
Sure, and I think that the question that many people have is, should they be eating these and are they sustainable choices? And Whole Foods is moving in a direction to say some of these are not sustainable and will not actually support them.
Well, give us the scientific view on this. How serious of a problem is this that Whole Foods is reacting in this way and deciding to take some stuff right off their shelves?
Well, for example, tuna. Tuna fisheries are in great danger right now. Tuna is becoming less and less available in the environment, yet we still see it as an everyday item, from canned tuna to items in a restaurant or in the supermarket. The question is, are we actually paying the real price of that fish, and does the consumer actually have an idea of what their consumption of that fish is doing to the environment?
Now, when we look down this line, we see prices like $8.99 a pound or $13.99 a pound or even $21.99 a pound for this Alaskan king salmon. What should we be paying, really, for stuff like this right now?
I think for some of these, in the case of, say, tuna or some of these other options, it should be at least double or triple the price.
I've got a friend who said to me a couple of years ago about this issue, I want to order as much ahi tuna and yellowfin tuna as I can right now because in 10 years it'll cost $100 to get it.
I'm not so sure there will be ahi tuna and big eye tuna and others in the next 20 or 30 years available.
It's that fast. We're really that close to the end of that kind of stuff.
For some of these, we are.
David Ginsberg is a marine environmental biologist at the Environmental Studies Program at the University of Southern California. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And finally, a hotel in France is offering guests the chance to live like a hamster. Seriously. You'll have an exercise wheel in your room. You'll feast on a meal of organic hamster grains and sip water on all fours. All for $143 a night. Book now while supplies last, or something like that. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.